Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we're going to take a look at the finances, the country, and the state. Paulinos has the rundown.
Sam, we're going to be talking to economist Jeremy Aguero about the failure of the super committee and about employment prospects in Nevada.
And coming upon the Power Pundit panel, Randy Thompson, Alfredo Alonso, and Lisa Caffarata. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background checks, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in, about 10 years.
So do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
Amanda had $3,000 until her transmission went. Rick had $4,000 before his engine died. Sue has no money and her onboard computer broke. No one likes putting money into their car for repairs. Get Auto Assure and be assured you won't have to. With Auto Assure, you never have to put money into expensive covered repairs. You keep it. It's guaranteed protection. You can keep your mechanic, your dealer. Auto Assure pays them directly. You choose the coverage you need on any make or any model car, and you don't lay out a penny. Not for a fuel injection system, air conditioning, suspension system, or anything else. We all want to keep our cars longer. The choice is yours. Do you want to pay for expensive auto repairs, or let Auto Assure pay them for you? Call right now and get a bonus package worth $100 that includes roadside assistance, towing, and rental car coverage for peace of mind.
Call Auto Assure at 1-800-224-7616 right now and stop putting money into auto repairs. Go to AutoAssure.com or call 1-800-224-7616.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Jeremy Aguero. He's the principal analyst with Applied Analysis. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir. And let's start out with the debt committee's collapse in the last 24 hours, the stock market taking a beating yesterday. What do you think the net effects of this are going to be going forward? And will Congress be in control, or will the markets be in control?
Well, generally speaking, I think the markets are going to be more in control than Congress is going to be, but Congress has to get its house in order. The collapse of the so-called super committee, of course, is hugely problematic from the standpoint that it leaves this big gap in uncertainty, and that's really what's creating the concern among consumers and among business folks alike. We know that the level of debt that we're carrying is problematic. We know that the United States cannot continue on its current course. The fact that the failure of the super committee opens up the door to these so-called cuts, whether they materialize or whether they don't, is, again, creates this level of uncertainty in terms of what the United States is going to do and whether there'll be further reductions to our debt ratings. That combination of things is bad for the United States, is bad for the global economy, and is frankly bad for our economy right here at home. We'd certainly like to see that fixed sooner rather than later.
We're taping this on the morning of Tuesday the 22nd to give people perspective. Already listening to the radio this morning and watching TV, members of Congress already talking about bailing on the cuts that were supposed to come in 2013. Do you think that's the way it's going to go?
I actually do. I mean, I think Congress has a vested interest in trying to protect some of the programs that might otherwise be cut. And I really think that's problematic. I mean, the United States cannot continue on its current course. The reality of it is that we cannot spend more money than we have into perpetuity. That's exactly what we're doing. We've seen certain programs continue to grow and grow and grow, even though revenues are not following a similar course. It's simply unsustainable. So, I think it's wholly problematic that many lawmakers are essentially saying, hey, look, we can't follow through with some of the cuts that were to be the fallback in the event that the super committee was unable to come to a resolution of some sort. So, to answer your point more, you answer your question more directly. I think it's very problematic to say we're not going to go forward with those cuts without coming forward with some type of plan to essentially shore up the U.S. Budget.
You know, we've got Simpson Bowles, we've got David Walker's plan. Basically, David Walker has said that we've got basically a year or two before the markets will take over and make the cuts for us.
Look, I mean, I think some folks have been saying that for some time, and there's certainly different elements of plans that are being floated around by any number of people in Washington, D.C., and elsewhere. Some of those elements are good. Some of those things are things we need to consider as a nation. That said, it is having a unified plan. It is being able to demonstrate to the markets that we have our financial house in order, which is the necessary element to getting past this, what will become another financial crisis in the United States. I mean, it's one that we can see coming from a mile away. We just have to be prepared for it. The idea that it's going to take the markets a year, 2 years, 3 years to essentially take control of this crisis, that's purely speculation. We don't know exactly how long that's going to take. We don't know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. But what we do know is that we're on an unsustainable course, and if Congress fails to act, that will lead us to something that looks like a crisis. And the private sector markets, the rating agencies may very well come in and attempt to intervene.
You talked about some elements of plans that were out there that were good, that could encourage growth in this economy. We heard about lowering corporate tax rates. We heard about limiting deductions. Is there a specific part of a plan that you heard that could help encourage economic growth in our country?
Well, generally speaking, I think the way you want to start is by cutting some of the spending. Some of the entitlement programs that are out there are on an unsustainable track, and I don't know that the needs of the United States is the same as they were 50 or 60 years ago. You know, I do think that there is some room for reduction in spending, particularly among military. Moving $1 trillion out of military spending is something on the order of a 17% cut, and getting a little bit smaller, more tactical there, I think has some benefits. Those spending reduction elements, I think, make a lot of sense. In terms of the tax reduction elements, there are certain of those. Of course, the extension of some of the reductions in total collections that are currently on the books today, I think, makes some sense. That said, we have to be able to pay for the programs that we do believe to be critical or core to the nation's mission. So I don't want to leave you with the impression that there's a silver bullet, that just one side of the equation is going to solve our debt crisis while at the same time getting our economy moving forward. I also tend to believe that it's more the private sector is what's going to get the economy moving forward. The public sector is merely in some ways creating obstacles or removing those obstacles from allowing the private sector to do what it needs to do in terms of creating jobs and generating gross output.
You know, it seems that we're talking out of both sides of our mouth, though, in Washington, D.C., because on one side you hear we need spending cuts. On the other side, we talk about stimulus. We need stimulus. We need to inject more revenue into the private sector to create jobs. I mean, is that what you mean, the lack of a unified plan, because we are talking out of both sides of our mouth?
Oh, I know it's surprising that anybody in Washington would talk out of both sides of their mouth, but well, your point is absolutely accurate. We're sort of saying both things. And let's be clear, relative to stimulus, in terms of stimulus, in terms of getting folks retrained in sort of thinking about it instead of physical capital, thinking about human capital, certainly the United States and states like Nevada need greater investment in that regard. That said, I think we have to be very cautious about about thinking about stimulus sort of in its traditional sense in terms of just pumping money into the economy. Things like extending benefits for unemployment insurance and the like, I don't think are going to have the long-term benefits that we will ultimately need. We do need to create jobs, but let's be clear that jobs in some ways, particularly in places like Nevada, have started to show some signs of improvement. I mean, we are growing faster than the national average in terms of job creation here at home. And if we think about things in terms of core employment, that's total employment, less government employment, and excluding construction-related employment, we've seen growth for the better part of the past 12 months. In many places around the United States can say the very same thing. The fact of the matter is that the government sector is largely catching up today with the private sector. They're feeling the slings and arrows of that economic downturn, which they've been able to sort of push off for a longer period of time. So now there's this asymmetry within the U.S. economy, and I don't think stimulus is the right way to handle that. That isn't to say that I would suggest for even a moment that the original stimulus package didn't have some necessary elements to it. I actually think that it did. That said, carrying that forward into today's, the challenges that the United States is facing immediately are very different than the challenges we were facing in 2008.
Okay, let's take a break. More with Jeremy Aguero. We got him fired up right after this timeout.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Get in the holiday race for cash this November at the Carson Valley Inn. Win up to $20,000 in cash every week. It's your place to play and win. The holiday race for cash, only at the Carson Valley Inn.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
Get in the holiday race for cash this November at the Carson Valley Inn. Win up to $20,000 in cash every week. It's your place to play and win. The holiday race for cash, only at the Carson Valley Inn.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jeremy Aguero, Principal Analyst with Applied Analysis. You know, Jeremy, at the end of the last segment, you brought up something that I've been pounding away at on this program for months now, which is that things are improving in Nevada. When you look at the gaming industry, for example, the expansion of the convention center that was just announced, Wynn Resorts remodeling all of their rooms, Flamingo now announcing, it's not a huge project, but a $10 million project to remodel all the rooms at the Flamingo, ahead of Project Sync, which is $550 million. The Caesars Octavius Tower is going to hire another 650 people there. Station Casinos, 500 permanent jobs, 500 part-time jobs. How much confidence do you think that this is now putting into the Las Vegas market that things are turning around?
Look, I mean, I think when you take a look at the tourism industry and you just take all the statistics, you know, increases in average daily room rates combined with increases in occupancy, visitor volume on the rise, consumers are not only more of them are coming, but they're actually spending more today. The combination of those things are leading to the investments that you just talked about. And not only that, but they're leading to employment. In Southern Nevada alone, you've added 15,000 jobs since the tourism industry hit its low point in about November of 2009. That is remarkably incredible. encouraging. And I think the one statistic that's more important to me than probably any other is that we had more hotel rooms filled in terms of visitors with heads in beds last month than we had when the market was at its absolute peak about 3 years ago. In terms of creating confidence, in terms of stimulating investment, and in terms of creating jobs, we couldn't ask for anything more.
And we're also seeing similar kinds of confidence in terms of investment in Northern Nevada. And we had a couple of projects that started at the beginning of the recession with the Pepper Mill expansion, $400 million there, the Atlantis expansion, $100 million. But in the last year, we've seen the Grand Sierra Resort get purchased for a bargain of $42 million, the Sienna in downtown Reno, $2.9 million, and now the announcement that Boomtown is being taken over shows, does it not, that there is confidence in the Northern Nevada market as well in a gaming industry that for many years people have written off, but I think mainly due to the fact that people weren't investing up until then.
No, I think it has to do with that. I think Northern Nevada's hospitality industry is a bit different than that in Southern Nevada, and we know that for any number of reasons. But I think the point that you're making is exactly the right one, and that is the reality that investors are now coming in because they view opportunity on a go-forward basis. They believe that the price points reflect a place where they can have a return on that investment, that they think that there is some growth possible from where we are today. And, you know, I think for many businesses that have survived what is the worst economic downturn in most of our lifetimes, is that they're seeing that this may be a floor, and if I get in at this point, I will have some upside over the next several years.
Let's talk about the construction industry, because that has been something that over the last few decades has fueled a tremendous amount of growth in the state of Nevada, and we're looking at construction jobs from a high point of 145,000 jobs in 2006 to 57,000 jobs today. Do you see any potential growth in that sector? Do you think it's going to stay there?
Well, look, I mean, the reality of it is there's not a lot of construction work going on, right? We have huge overages in the residential market, some 50,000 too many housing units available today in the state of Nevada. We have office vacancy rates both north and south around 25%, which are all-time highs. And the same thing can be said about the industrial market and the retail market. So, you know, the fact that we have these type of imbalances, I mean, there's going to be very little in terms of new construction activity or the demand for new construction activity. Tourism industry is creating some activity. Certainly, there's still public projects that are in the pipeline that are creating some activity, which should be able to stabilize this. But we've lost two out of every three construction-related jobs, and we don't see a whole lot of that coming back. You know, interestingly, Sam outlined a number of sort of projects that were maybe under the umbrella of reinvestment, and we're seeing some of that actually pick up construction-related work. As a matter of fact, in Southern Nevada, we've seen construction employment increase for the past 4 months. Again, that's 3,000 jobs being added after 70,000 jobs were lost, so probably not anything to write home about. But the fact that we're seeing some signs of at least hitting a floor, both in Northern Nevada and in Southern Nevada, and some improvements in the rural areas of the state in terms of construction, is a lot better than what we would have said a year or two ago.
We've got about 15 seconds left, Jeremy. When you're making comparisons now, what is a realistic comparison? Is there a realistic comparison to 2007, the place where we should be looking? Where's the realistic comparison rather than the boom years for year-to-year growth?
Yeah, I don't think it's helpful or productive to go back to the peak of the market and say, when are we going to get back to that? I think that the comparison that needs to be made is over last year. If we can see improvements over last year, we're doing better, and I think we're going to see improvements going into 2012 in several sectors. That is what's going to be good for Nevada, and that's where our measuring stick should look like.
And we love confidence from Jeremy Aguero. Thank you, sir. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program. We'll talk to you soon. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway and Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
Hi, I'm Shelby Sheehan. News 4 maintains a public file of information on our children's programming. If you'd like to review it, contact us at 322-4444.
The Charter bundle is simply the best bundle ever. Charter Internet is way faster than DSL and powerful enough to enable every device in your home. And you'll get a free DVR, yep, completely free. Free HD channels and thousands of free movies and shows on demand with Charter TV. Pretty amazing. Plus, get unlimited long distance for 30% less than the phone company with Charter Phone. Let it all in just in time for the holidays. Call 1-855-NOW-SWITCH today and get the Charter bundle for just $99.97 a month.
Check out the all-new MyNews4.com today.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great PowerPoint panel. As always, Alicia Cafferata is here, lobbyist with Planned Parenthood, Alfredo Alonso with law firm of Lewis & Rocha, and Randy Thompson, our political analyst. Welcome to you all. Mm-hmm. Interesting listening to Jeremy Aguero there. It's a political year. Somebody reported to me that Shelley Berkley was giving a private talk and talked about how Congress was going to be doing absolutely nothing for the next year. And people, after she left, were outraged at that meeting. Can we afford for the Congress to do nothing for the next year?
My opinion, no. I think Congress has to get moving on obviously stimulating, you know, job growth, the economy. I think it's just irresponsible not to. There's no way around it, frankly.
But you spent time on Capitol Hill yourself. What's the realities of the 2012 elections?
I think the reality is that, people have to campaign. I mean, that's the reality of it. They're going to be out home. They're going to be raising money. They're going to be running for office. And to be honest with you, that is one of the priorities right now for many an individual who's running for Congress, because your majorities are going to be and your policies are going to be in order. So all of that's on the line. And so again, the priorities of the people and the priorities of Congress don't always coincide.
Randy, you're laughing. Go
I'd
ahead.
Say the yeah. best. Well, he and I are on Capitol Hill together, so I was a lobbyist. He was on the good side. But I'd say the last thing I want Congress to do is act. I mean, if they're going to pass crap like the Obamacare and Dodd-Frank, I don't want them to do anything. I want them to go home and campaign and let business get back to business. Let us do our job. The biggest problem we have with small business right now is the uncertainty of what's coming out of Washington. If they don't do anything, at least we know what we got, and we'll live with what we got.
Alisa?
I think it's interesting. Politico this morning called Congress the most reviled institution in the country. It wasn't always this way. If we get to the point where we say every election year Congress can't do anything, as opposed to what they've been doing now, but that's not a way to run a country. So I think that's inexcusable. And, you know, if you think back, this political article also mentioned, you know, Bill Clinton cut a huge deficit reduction agreement in the middle of everything else he had going on. So if Bill Clinton could do it with his Congress, there's no reason that this Congress can't make some progress.
Well, and he was much more skilled than President Obama as far as reaching out to Congress. I think that's a big criticism, is that he hasn't reached out. And we're going to have a lot of the blame game.
He started by reaching out. And we've gotten into this. We just go by the playbook and our talking points. And, you know, I mean, there are people who say on both sides, both parties, you know, the other party wants America to fail. The other party wants to keep the economy bad so they can get reelected. And, you know, regardless, somebody has, or two or three or ten somebodies have got to step up and do something different.
Alfredo, is this going to be, you know, and we are going to play the blame game. You know, you've seen it on both sides now. Do you think that the people are going to choose one side to blame over the other? Do you think this is going to be a pox on both your houses?
Oh, I think everyone is getting equal blame. I think the problem too is and Randy's right. I mean, I think business would rather them see them do nothing than do something that's going to hurt them. But I think the problem is you know, Bill Clinton didn't have the polarization of Congress that they that we have now. I mean, you've got the hard left and the hard right are so far apart and so unyielding that I don't know how anybody
impeached
could.
Him.
That's true. But it wasn't as partisan back then. It's gotten so much uglier.
I agree. Impeached him.
Guess what, though? They still got things done even between all of that.
But they agreed on some other things besides his personal views.
Yeah, that's the amazing part is that the amount of things that actually got done with that trouble brewing. Yeah. It was amazing.
Still reformed welfare, but I agree with Paul. I think Clinton, I actually miss the days of Clinton. I never thought I'd say that. But we got more done.
But when are we going to grow up and deal with policies that are put, you know, and I've said this about our state legislature, and I'm saying it now about the country. We need a 25-year financial plan for this country to put our house in order. There's going to be pain on all sides, but aren't the American public grown up enough to be able to deal with something that can be stretched over 25 years and make sense?
Apparently not.
Our Congress is...
Can you say super committee?
Super failure? Yeah.
But the way elections are structured, you know, just look at the jockeying and the congressional races in Las Vegas. It's all about making a deal, who's going to get elected, whose turn is it. And so even if the American people wanted to elect somebody new who had a 25-year plan, who's running that's new that has a 25-year plan? It's all the same.
Well, the plans are there.
Folks.
You've got Simpson Bowles, you've got David Walker's. There are plans that are out there that lay out very well, and I've read them. I mean, I have no life. I have actually sat down and read these things, and there is pain for all sides, but at the end of it is a stronger American economy. And that's not what we're going to have if we keep up with this nonsense.
But has anybody even read Simpson Bowles? The president requested it. Has he even read it? Is he even looking at it and saying, let's start implementing it? That's the shame. If it doesn't come from the top, it's not going to go anywhere.
The best part about it are the Simpson one-liners. That's where we've got to leave it.
He is good at those.
We're going to have you guys back in a couple of days. Thanks for being here. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Hey, Badger, you want to go for a walk? You want a biscuit? You want to go to Circus Circus?
Here's an offer you'll flip for. Announcing the ultimate barbecue platter for just $12.99. Only at Smoking Geckos at Circus Circus.
You've done your time. Now it's your time to be well taken care of at Sky Peaks for all-inclusive independent retirement living. Sky Peaks for limited time offers your choice of two. Up to $1,800 in packing and moving services. 1 month free rent. A 32-inch flat screen TV or $500 gift certificate to R.C. Willie. Call now for a free tour and complimentary lunch appointment at 747-9555. Sky Peaks, where the only thing we overlook is Reno at 1520 Sky Valley Drive.
Finally, a place to stay and play in historic Virginia City. It's the best of the Old West at the 67-room Victorian-style Silverland Inn and Suites. Now you can spend the night and enjoy a different world just a short ride from Reno. Indoor heated pool and hot tub, special events and activities are all available for your enjoyment. Stay Sunday through Thursday and a standard room is only $69. Call the Silverland Inn and Suites and discover a new way to stay and play in the Old West.
In a recent consumer research study, two identical gold necklaces were exchanged for cash. This one was sent to cashforgold.com, and 2 weeks later, a check was received for $81. Then an identical necklace was exchanged at Check City. Was there a difference? At Check City, we received $251 and got cash on the spot. So here's my question. Where should you go to exchange your gold or silver jewelry for cash?
Check City. Fast, easy, and profitable.
Hey, Badger, you want to go for a walk? You want a biscuit? You want to go to Circus Circus?
Here's an offer you'll flip for. Announcing the ultimate barbecue platter for just $12.99. Only at Smoking Geckos at Circus Circus.
As always, you can watch the Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. Sam, tomorrow we're going to be talking to Alana Lee, who is Miss Nevada. Very sharp lady.